This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
This is a song that I never thought I would write on the night I'm dying. Sorry for all the wrong I've done. I finished trying. It was a wonderful dream. Now let him come and slay me.
Damn it. The demon who haunted the streets of London. I come to slay. Here I am.
I'll leave you bleeding in my dungeon. I'll never obey. Oh, rip out your esophagus!
Please, Mr. Van Helsing, listen to me. He's just a man who wishes to be free.
Lay him in the hearse. You must end this curse.
He's the worst.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time to grab your popcorn and your drink. Please take your seat and always silence your cell phones. The next showing of Place to Be Nation's Laughin' Theater with Andy Atherton is about to begin.
My reign is done. It's time to die.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to the theater, the Laughing Theater. That's right, I am your host, Andy Atherton, and thank you for joining me tonight. We've got a great movie to watch, and we got a great guest, so let's introduce him. Let's not waste any time getting started. He is the host of 90 to Nothing, one of the sarcastic four in the Marvel Age podcast, and a host of DC Post-Crisis Management, Mr. Russell Sellers. Russ, how are you tonight, man?
I'm doing really well, Andy. We're about to watch one of my all-time favorite movies. In fact, this is my favorite comedy ever.
Yes. Yes. We'll talk about that in one moment. But let's, for those of you who are listening that aren't that familiar with Russ's shows, let's talk about it a little bit. Russ, tell us about 90 to Nothing. What's the real heart of that show?
Well, I credit Sam Neely, my co-host, as being the real heart of it. Because he's as big a 90s movie buff as you're ever going to meet. I mean, as am I, but I think Sam is certainly the heart of the show. He did our theme song. He does like all the really cool stuff with it. Also edits the show. So yeah, he's put in a lot of time with it. But that show is all about exploring some of our favorite films from 1990 all the way through the year 1999. So if you were a 90s kid and you had a favorite movie, chances are we're going to do a little retrospective on it. And mostly what we do is we watch the movie before we get down, before we get together and record. And then we just chat about it and see how it looks through the 2019 lens.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. 90s was a great decade. I graduated high school in 90, so I was a young adult, I guess, for most of the 90s.
Yeah, we will probably cover at least a couple of your favorites.
Oh yeah. 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 I mean, there are some that I've seen you already do that I like, you know. Empire Records, you know, has its moments, you know. I know, but yeah, I'm sure you'll hit like stuff like, you know, The Lion King, Toy Story.
We have a Disney block that we've kind of lined up, like all the Disney movies we want to get to. And it's like, dear God, do we do these like in a row or do we do them separately? We'll make a call on that one.
Yeah, Disney is daunting. You know, stuff like Armageddon, that's a 90s movie, right?
Yes, 1998.
Yeah, so a lot of good big budget movies came out. That was really the rise of indie films in the 90s, really, like Pulp Fiction, Reservoir Dogs, the whole basically Miramax early catalog. So yeah, you guys got a great trove, basically like a great mine for movies.
We will never be short on content, I don't think.
No, which is also, you know, why I picked comedy for Laughing Theater. You know, we can go back many decades, or this is actually tonight we're actually doing the most recent movie out of the five I've done so far on the show. So, I said, yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. And that's you're one of the sarcastic four over on Marvel Age with.
I've had a couple of my cohorts on.
Yes, Tim and Todd. Nick will be on at some point. Yes, that's a great show. And then you also have DC Post-Crisis Management. You want to talk about that briefly for a minute?
I've been doing a kind of a road trip, if you will, across this great land, talking with the various experts of DC Comics that I can link up with, and we go over the big crisis events of DC Comics, of which there have been many. But we started with Crisis on Infinite Earths from 1986. That was with the manager himself, Todd Weber. And I've just recently reached the eighth episode of the show where I wound up in Queens, New York to talk with Stephen Ferrari of the CasualGeekery.com about the Dark Side War and DC Universe Rebirth number one. That's episode that's just dropped. It's the penultimate episode of the show, as there's only one more left where I'll be taking a look at the most recent DC Comics event, Heroes in Crisis. And that will be with, again, the manager himself, Todd Weber, which will wrap up the post-crisis management series. And then we'll have an announcement after that about what comes next.
Awesome, awesome. Now, I've stated this many times. I'm not a comics guy, not for lack of not wanting to be. Just it wasn't something that I grew up doing. But I grew up watching the cartoons. Like, up until the MCU came around, I was a DC mark. Like, head hands down. Like, Challenge of Super Friends, the Battle of Super Friends, whatever. Those were some of my favorite cartoons as a kid. Back in the late 70s, early 80s, you know, I just hear that that theme song, and I hear, like, you know, "Meanwhile at the Hall of Justice" kind of thing. And that's why it's so, for me, the DCEU, I'm like sitting there in the corner. It's like how I feel about the Transformers movies. I'm like, please be good. Can somebody please get this right? I love these characters so much as a kid that I just want to see them on the big screen. Now, as I don't know anything about the whole Crisis storylines. Have we ever seen that in any of the cartoons or the movies so far? Have they not gone to that mine?
Not really. Certainly not in live action films. Okay. Nobody's ever done anything quite like that. But I will say that if you watched something like Justice League Unlimited, which was a great cartoon series back in the early 2000s, it was a spinoff, actually, or a continuation of Batman the Animated Series.
Okay.
It kind of touched on that whole, like, alternate Earths idea, and even played around with some of the Crisis elements. And currently, I would say that Young Justice has been kind of dabbling a little bit, or possibly leaning that way. Like, it could go that direction. So those two things, I would say, really get into in a little bit into the weeds on those particular types of events. Also highly recommend both shows, and they're both on the DC Universe streaming app.
Yes, I'm thinking about doing it. There's a couple of ladies that, you know, maybe if I purchase a subscription, I can get some articles out of them for the site. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, I can say that it is right now, I would call it the best value in comics. Their library of digital comics has just exploded. It has all the best stuff on there right now.
Okay. Yeah. My son is actually getting into comics a little bit. Sometimes we're at Dave and Buster's, and he'll use his ticket points to get, you know, a bunch of comics in a wrapper. So I don't think he's getting anything that's worth anything, but, you know, if he enjoys reading them,
that's all that matters.
Yeah, that is. So would this crisis, would this translate to big screen, or is this kind of like something that's like not doable?
I mean, I don't want to say anything is not doable, because we just saw the Infinity Saga adapted for the big screen. And with modern technology and with constant advancements happening, I'm going to say anything's possible.
All right.
With the current live-action CW shows kind of dabbling, like, definitely headed towards Crisis on Infinite Earths, they're actually adapting that story for their big crossover next year.
Okay.
So they're already kind of ahead of the game there. And all of those shows, you know, are big hits with the DC fans, and even, like, they've even made, like, you know, new fans of their own who aren't, like, big fans of the comics. So this is absolutely doable, and I think it would be so cool to see it with a movie budget and that level of effects. And, you know, I'm still hopeful that one day we'll get something along those lines.
Yeah, yeah. I had a little bit of hope for what I know of the DC world when the end of what was it? End of Justice League when his name came up out of the water and saw Lex Luthor played by Joe Manganiello.
Deathstroke.
Deathstroke. When Deathstroke came up and they kind of like hinted towards of like a Legion of Doom forming. I actually kind of marked out for that because I was like, that was my favorite, you know, every hero, every had their arch rival, you know, and they had all those fun episodes where they would like, you know, battle each other. That's, I love that kind of stuff. And when it comes to like comics or cartoons, at least for me.
Yeah. I would love to see a Legion of Doom formed. I think Deathstroke was cast really well. I'm not really a fan of that version of Lex Luthor. But with the way things have gone lately, it seems like that's not going to happen. Like the idea of team up movies has kind of been pushed to the side and they're just focusing on their individual heroes, but that's working out pretty well so far. Cause Aquaman and Shazam were both great.
Yeah. They were so much fun. Those movies really, really enjoyed them. It was so dark before that.
Yeah. Wonder Woman, yeah. Another one that was excellent. So they've got three really excellent movies in the fold, and I would include Man of Steel in that because I'm a fan. But the others, it's hard to really say anything good about them. But maybe, you know, maybe we're turning a corner here. Maybe there's going to be something good coming down the road. There's a Wonder Woman sequel coming up. Mm-hmm. James Gunn is doing the Suicide Squad sequel. Writing and directing that. So, you know, there's some things to be hopeful about.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, Zack Snyder is kind of not involved anymore. He's kind of like Michael Bay, just get him away. Let him do second unit kind of stuff. Like he's a good, you know, action set piece, but you know, not the guy that oversees a universe with characters.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's out. Sure he's completely done and not coming back.
Yeah. So enough about DC. So we're going to say let's talk about why we're here tonight. So, Russell, what movie are we actually watching tonight?
We're going to watch my favorite comedy of all time from 2008. This is Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Just a wonderful, wonderful romantic comedy. Maybe the best example of how people deal with modern relationships.
Yes, yes. I was so happy when you picked this. I love this movie to pieces. I think it's hysterical. I think the performances are so funny. And, you know, Kristen Bell is probably the top of my hachi-machi list, personally. So I was like, oh, yeah. And Mila Kunis is working her way up. And, you know, we got a lot to talk about. We're going to save our little trivia bits and all that stuff. So why you picked it? Well, it's your favorite comedy. Yes. When did you first see it? Now, did you see this in theaters? Was this a home video discovery?
No, I saw this in theaters. Awesome. The weekend it came out. Mm-hmm. Because the trailers looked really funny. I was a Jason Segel fan, and I thought, okay, well, this premise seems like something that I'm going to really relate to because I was going through something very similar at the time. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, well, let's go see this. It's produced by Judd Apatow. I liked what he had done before, like 40-Year-Old Virgin. I was a big fan of. I think Knocked Up had come out the year before. So I really liked what he was doing, and this just seemed like the right movie at the right time. And you know, every once in a while, that just happens for people, that a movie comes along right at the time you need it, and that's what Forgetting Sarah Marshall was for me.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah, I remember seeing it in theaters, and I thought it was hysterical. And it was like, this is when that whole, I don't know what we called them, but that this whole kind of group started coming up. You know, that's your Jason Segel, Jonah Hill, you know, Michael Cera's in there. You want to throw him in there? You could throw Paul Rudd in there, Seth Rogen, those like kind of like stoner slacker kind of guys.
Yeah, it was totally that. And at times, even this movie has a little bit of that, like, stoner slacker vibe. Certainly the slacker vibe, given that Jason Segel really seems like the kind of character, like his career has kind of bottomed out, and he's just kind of floundering, really. Like, he's not doing anything with his life.
Yeah.
So it's no wonder that things start to fall apart.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to start the movie in just a minute. But first, let's just catch you up really quick on what's going on here at Place to Be Nation. So over on the Pop Feed, you know, we always have something for everybody. The Marvel Age crew is back to wrap up the year that was 1970. So that was all you guys. And Jenny.
It was a good year.
Yeah, yeah, from what I've been told. It was 2 years before I was born. But I would, you know, I really, you know, when I finally sit down and I start trying to learn comics and everything, I am really turning to you guys to be like the guide. And I'm gonna use your episodes to help me on my journey, so to speak.
Well, we will be honored to help.
Thank you, thank you. And Jenny Miranda, we're back with a new Geek and Sassy, breaking down Doom Patrol Volume 1. Sunday Groove, David was joined by Greg Phillips, one of the HTFs, to discuss some hidden gems. I had an episode of Great Debate that dropped recently with Chad Campbell, Greg Phillips, and J.R. Sunil D'Amato. We talk sports, talk movies, pop culture, all kinds of fun stuff. And then Kelly and Steve are back with all new Songs with Friends, talking some Lil Wayne and Dina Carter. The manager, Todd Weber, had a pod blast to look at the premiere episode of Season 8 of Game of Thrones. Now, Russell, you mentioned you were a Game of Thrones fan, so you know, that's a must listen for all you GOT people. I mean, like I said, that's much like the whole Arrowverse. That's like on my list of things like I want to binge at one point. We're such peak contact. And then the hard-traveling fanboys talked the power of Shazam in this month's Long Book Hunters. And actually, if you want to listen to the last episode of Laughing Theater, Tim Keeble joined me to talk Ghostbusters, which is my current guest's favorite movie of all time, and he's the resident Ghostbusters expert. So
I'm not bitter at all.
No. I think when you do return, and which I hope you do, we may dive back into that universe, so to speak, to get your take on the Ghostbusters. You know, we're going to do it on our own, so to speak. Get it? You like what I did there?
Yeah. I do. Okay. I appreciate your soundtrack reference.
Awesome. All right. And then also we got a big thing happening over at the Ho-Ho-Lun Studios up in Vancouver. The Hard Traveling Fanboys will be wrapping up their Hard Travelers for Hire series with a special giant-sized edition of their show. Greg and Nick will be joined by past guests for a retrospective look back at highs and lows of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and they want your opinions. After you've seen Endgame, send in your full ranking of the MCU movies from 1 to 22 to nickd@placetobenation.com. That's N-I-C-K-D @placetobenation.com. A full composite rankings for Place to Be Nation will be revealed on the show. So get your ballots and to make your voice heard. Ballots are due by May 16th. So hopefully this drops and everybody has enough time. I'm submitting my ballot. I've seen Endgame, so I'm good to go. And then over on the wrestling feed, you know, we had new episodes of Jeff Loves Wrestling, Learns Wrestling, Wrestling Warzone, a new show, Row One, Seat One, with host Ben Zaney. Welcome one and only Papa Mike Hales, talk about his lifetime of experiences attending live wrestling shows. Also, we had a PWN Network special with Greg Diener and Robert Silva talking about the GWWE Tag Team Project. And a new episode of If You Don't Know, Billy Jack came back. So head over to PlayStationNation.com. We got all things up and running. A new tournament is starting soon around Memorial Day, June 1st. That's going to run the whole summer. We're going to take a trip back in time to the 80s, and everybody's going to, you know, try to find out what the greatest song of the 80s. We've tried this once before. We had a little, you know, behind-the-scenes issues with bots, so to speak. So we're going to do it the same way we did the candy tournament. There's a Facebook page. We're actually going to transform the candy tournament Facebook page to the greatest song of the 80s. Facebook page, so that's coming soon. So keep an eye out for that and vote every day. There's going to be lots of polls because we're starting with a lot of songs to get to that one big song, hopefully by around Labor Day. So that's everything that's going on. We've paid the bills. So Russell, are you ready to get started with the with this fine feature film?
I'm absolutely ready to go. Let's do this.
All right. So everybody at home, we are queued up right after the FBI warning. We have black on our screen, and the Universal logo is about to come up. So, if you're ready, Russ, we're going to start. We're going to hit play in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Play. Okay, here we go. Now the Universal logo is coming up.
Yep.
All right. Oh. And we have the Universal logo. Now, Universal Pictures presents Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Great title also, by the way.
It is. It has almost that indie movie feel, but it's definitely a major studio production. And how about Jason Segel, like, flex them necks, buddy?
Yeah.
Good for you, Pete. Good for you.
Good for you, Pete. Yes, that's right.
But he's very proud of his fat pecs.
Yes. He's not – who is it? Lex Luger was the big pec
Yeah, he ain't quite got that. I'm impressed by this giant bowl of cereal that he's pouring himself. I mean, I love my cereal too, but I've never seen anyone who loves it quite like this. Maybe not since Jethro in Beverly Hillbillies.
Yeah, that is quite the bowl. And we see around the apartment pictures of him and a cute little blonde, and several pictures obviously in a relationship with. He's just sitting here eating a ginormous mixing bowl of cereal, watching Access Hollywood with Billy Bush.
That's unfortunate.
Yes.
Speaking of things that haven't aged well. Oh, no, Billy Bush. But, yes, this show with – I mean, Billy Baldwin is only here to play, you know, this detective role on a fake show. But, my God, is he awesome. He is one of the unsung heroes of this film.
Yes.
Every line is just tremendous. The guy is killing me.
Well, I'm trying to get my closed captioning on here. I don't know why it's not showing. So here they are. They look like they're in love. You know, they're a cute little couple.
Yeah, she's like Sarah Marshall is an actress. She's playing, you know, a CSI or a detective on this this crime drama that looks like, you know, pretty standard NBC crime drama for the day. Like, if you've ever seen Law and Order or what are some of the other popular ones around. But right now we're getting a look at the real star of this show, Mr. Russell Brand as Aldous Snow, the lead singer of Infant Sorrow.
Yes. Great name for a band.
Right. Sodomize Intolerance on his sign there. What a great – great moment in film history.
He's humping a nun.
But this is one of those things that you just really have to see to believe. It is absolutely tremendous. And I thank this movie for giving us Russell Brand.
Yes.
This was his first film. It is not him singing the songs, though. He is lip syncing. I forget who it is that's actually doing the vocals. But it is certainly not him. He does not have a singing voice.
Now, Pete's cleaning the apartment as this Infant Sorrow song is playing. And Jenny would be happy he's donning the sweatpants.
Yes, Jason Segel is a guy in sweatpants right now. Oh, he would have his own section on the website.
Yes, that's right. And he's showering up.
Yeah, he'd be a superstar on that website for sure, especially considering what we're about to see.
Yeah, so he walks out.
And I think you're a little bit ahead of me.
Am I a little bit ahead? Okay, I'm going to pause it then. Let me know. He's about to open the towel, so let me know when you're there.
Yeah, towel is about to and it's open.
Okay.
It is. He's got a surprise for you.
Oh, boy. And he's smacking that thing?
Yeah, you can hear it. You can hear the slapping of his dick on his thighs. Now, when I saw this at theaters, I thought, okay, well, we're going to hear that, but that's as far as it's going to go, right? And yeah, that's as far as it's going to
go. And there we go.
There's the dick. And there's, you know, Jason Segel, you should be proud.
Yeah, he should.
I'm like, you know what, sir? That is not bad.
No.
That is not too shabby. You ought to be a happy man with yourself.
Yes.
And there's his ass, such as it is. Actually, I can relate very much to Jason Segel right here. That ass is flat as fuck. And I was like, wow, I'm taking this very personally right now.
And you could definitely tell by as soon as you saw her, you knew that she was breaking up with him.
Just that. Oh, for sure. The look, there's his dick again.
There is again. That's still going in the write-up.
Yeah, as soon as you see her, like, has there ever been a more I'm breaking up with you look in history?
No. God, no.
None. None whatsoever. Like, as soon as I saw her, you're right. Like, it was like, yeah, she is totally about to break his heart. And here's Jason Segel. He's going through, like, the stages of grief. Mm-hmm. He's tried, you know, absolute shock, the disbelief, denial. He's on to the bargaining phase already. And now he's getting to anger.
And there it is again. The penis that just keeps on giving.
It just keeps on. Wait a minute.
Yeah, let's not finish that sentence.
I thought better of it. He's just. I remember reading about how this was the very first scene that Jason Segel and Kristen Bell shot together.
Really?
Yes. This was actually the first time they had met.
Wow, that's quite an introduction.
And the Jason Segel with his dick out thing was kind of a last minute addition to the script, and something that he had to be talked into.
Really? Because I mean, from what I think I heard stuff about Knocked Up, that, you know, somebody had to volunteer to be naked in that scene outside, and Jason like, I'll do it.
there was that, but this was like full on scene, like the full Monty. Repeatedly, and it was a little unnerving for him, I think, but probably more so for Kristen.
Yeah.
Now, how about Bill Hader playing his stepbrother? Now, this was an interesting narrative choice, mm-hmm. in that they kind of mentioned, you know, casually that he at one time was his stepbrother, but now they're like just. Like former stepbrothers. It's a weird situation, but here they are at a bar. Bill Hader's character is like married and just trying to help out his former brother. And all Pete is doing right here is, of course, going through the thing that I think every dude who's going through a rough breakup is going through. He thinks that he's going to make his life all better by running out and having sex with someone else.
Yeah, he just wants to, he wants to pee on a V or whatever he wants to on some T's, like, or something. Yeah.
This is his brother, that was a great line. He was like, no, you need to leave your P in the V so you can make a B-A-B-Y. He's just like, no, I think I just want to B my L on some T's.
Yes, that's it. And this is like one of Bill Hader's first movie roles, actually. I think he had just started SNL probably around this time.
Yeah, he was still relatively young on SNL, mm-hmm. But clearly they recognized how funny this guy is, and that he's got a real future in comedy, because he is absolutely hysterical. And I haven't watched his new show Barry on HBO, but I've heard a lot of good things about
him. And he's just forward with these women, like, I just want to have sex with one of you. I think it'll be a great treat for me. Pump the brakes.
No pretense at all with Peter. No setup whatsoever. No like lines. This guy hasn't had to flirt in years, so he is just putting it right out there. It's like, this is what I want. The blonde is having none of it, but the brunette over here is like
eating it up.
Yeah, she's. It's like, yep, she is, and she went home with him.
Yeah.
You know, in a million years, never thought that that would work.
Yeah.
He didn't either.
And now he's starting to cry.
He is definitely not in a good place.
Yeah. I know. Am I drifting ahead? We just had the flashbacks of him and Sarah.
Yep. They're all, oof. Yep, going through all those raw emotions right mm-hmm. now. This is why it was a bad idea. Yes. He's going to bawl like a baby.
Yes. And now there's the late, great Steve Landisberg from Barney Miller fame. And he's like at the doctor. He's like trying to explain, how do I get over this? He's like, I don't know what you want me to do. I'm a pediatrician.
I think you're ahead of me again.
Am I? What the hell's wrong with this thing? We're both watching the unrated versions, right?
Yes. He's like, I had sex. I used a condom, but I'm really scared I have an STD, doc.
Yeah, that's a good looking dick.
Is that Peter? I'm a pediatrician. Haven't you noticed you're sitting on a fire truck?
Yes.
I mean, I haven't quite figured out why he went to this particular doctor. There's no real explanation for it in the movie, but it's still a really funny scene.
Yeah, I think there was probably more to it. At first, I thought it was like his dad or something.
I did too. Like I thought this was his dad or something, and now he's just telling him he's got a beautiful dick, and it's like, you know, your girlfriend dumped you. You hurting? Stop it. Stop crying.
All right. So now he's with another woman, showing zero emotion. She's really into it. She's just like, okay, I'm done. He's like, okay.
I just came. Yeah. it's like, okay. Uh-huh. Peter's not really quite sure what to make of that one. And then this, of course, he's with a Latina now, and she just speaks Spanish the whole time. He doesn't understand a word she's saying.
Wow. I think we're actually watching two different versions, because I'm with the high girl right now.
Well, I just got to her.
Okay.
So you must have been watching the theatrical cut.
All right.
I am watching the unrated version.
I clicked on the unrated. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. And then she's like saying hi over and over again. And then she's like, you can gag me if you like. He's like
that's actually, she's another Apatow kind of staple. She has a very small role. She was on Undeclared, I believe. And she was the girl that Steve Carell kicks in the nose in 40 Old Virgin.
Oh, dear. Yeah, I recognize her now. Like, I didn't even think about that. Yeah, now we're on the scene of him. He's about to compose music for his now ex-girlfriend's show.
Yes, and he just doesn't want to be there.
He doesn't want to be anywhere. Like, his misery is reaching its peak here. And
he plays the Seinfeld theme song.
Which is maybe the best use of Seinfeld music ever. And the guy in the control booth is like, you know, can you just do the usual stuff?
I got Allman Brothers tickets, yeah, man. He kind of, sure, I could do that. And then he kind of flips out.
Yep. Takes the music stand and cuts open the screen.
Yes. Of his with his ex-girlfriend's giant face on it.
Accusing her of fucking Billy Baldwin.
Yes.
Which is not true. It's so much worse than that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, he'll find out.
And now got his stepbrother beating on the door with his landlord standing there like. This is such a dude thing to do. Like we lock ourselves away from the world, and like we don't want to see anybody go away. I just want to stew in my misery.
Yes,
it probably smells like they're just going to force their way into his apartment now.
Wow,
it's like, dude, it definitely smells awful. And then look at this place; it is trashed.
Yes, I mean,
he clearly has not like picked up after himself for. Like the last however many days it has been since all this happened.
Yeah, and now he's got a thing burning on the stove.
And burning all the pictures on the stove. I mean, what a terrible idea. It's like you really are trying to burn your house down.
Yeah. And there's the straight lace, you know. You can't do that.
I'm kind of ashamed to admit this, but that thing that he keeps his cereal in, that giant container, after seeing this movie, I definitely went out and got myself one of them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I actually recently got one at IKEA, and I'm like, I'm going back and getting more. This thing is great. Yeah. It keeps my cereal fresh.
Exactly. It's like, man, sometimes I'll get on a cereal kick, and I'll just keep it in this container like for a little while, but I'll get over my cereal kick and feel like, oh, well, I don't want to waste all this cereal. Oh, I don't have to worry about that. It's never going bad. I love this, the dressing down that Bill here gives him here.
He's like, I will stick you. We're not even blood. Just got to get your shit together. And now the explanation of the cereal.
Yeah, he's like, I'm trying so hard. It's like, yeah, you're. It's like you're surrounded by pictures of your ex and all the memories of everything that you shared. It can be tough.
Yeah,
you know, like you. But you know, I actually agree with Pete on the whole like burning the pictures thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're you know really committed to the idea of getting over somebody, the nuclear option is the way to go.
Yeah, you got
to
cleanse.
Yeah, like just like ditch. Everything, like get rid of everything in the house that you shared a memory with or that reminds you of her. Certainly pictures. I mean, get rid of all that stuff. Now, there's a really funny bit coming up here with the pictures on the computer.
It's like you're not doing a pop or delete.
It's like, I'm just going to get them off my computer. It's like, she's not even doing a real permanent delete.
Well, you never know. We could get back together.
Yeah. Nope. There it is.
Oh. He's like, oh. And now a nice shot of Hawaii after his brother said, you should go away. And he's like, well, Sarah always talked about this place in Hawaii. Go there.
Yeah. Now we're on the plane. Mm. He's watching an old episode of Will and Grace. And... oh boy, yeah, he forgot his. Sarah is the spokesmodel for Hawaiian Air.
Oh, that's right.
It's like an anticipatory order for another Bloody Mary because he's just going to, he is going to be drinking a lot.
Yes, he basically is going to spend the next like several days intoxicated.
I mean. All of this has really just been set up. Like the first act of the movie really just feels like, okay, we've got to completely destroy everything that is Peter's reality.
Yes.
And send him into the complete unknown, into Hawaii where, you know, everybody seems like very nice and friendly. And at first it's like, oh, this is kind of refreshing. Everybody seems okay.
Yeah.
And I know you said that Kristen Bell was at the top of your list for this movie. Well, it's I'm a Mila Kunis guy here.
Ah, there you go.
But this super Christian couple that just got married is a source of great comedy in this movie.
Yes, Jack McBrayer, very early role for him, too.
My God, he is awesome in this.
Yes.
His new wife here is just, you know, horny as hell. And he has clearly never had sex in his life and is absolutely terrified of what's about to happen.
Mahalo.
I have never been to Hawaii, but I assume that, you know, there are hotels maybe in other states that will serve you a nice drink like that just as soon as you walk up to the desk.
Yeah. When I was in Aruba. In 2010, while we were waiting online, we were given Aruba Arribas, the official drink of the island, while we were waiting online.
Well, all right.
Yeah, they were pretty good.
This is another like kind of crazy thing he did. He went to Hawaii without booking a hotel first.
Yes.
He just shows up at this hotel and is like, oh, I'm going to get a room. And, of course, the only one they have is like the $6,000 a night suite that he can't possibly afford. Oh, and look who's here.
Yes.
Sarah Marshall. Of course she is.
She's kind of a big deal.
This is not the thing for him to say.
No.
Oh, what he's about to say is totally not the thing to say. Yeah, he's embarrassed over his shirt. Well, nope, this isn't working. Wait for it. What are you doing here? Came here to murder you. I mean, at least she still realized he was joking. But that was, oh, man, really bad thing to say. But now he's going to – uh-oh. Yeah, and our second introduction to Russell Brand, who just walks up and slaps her on the ass.
Yes.
But I love this bit with the shoe. Excuse me, Mrs. I've lost a shoe.
I can't find my shoe. It's like this shoe's fella, except for it's not here.
It's the exact opposite, in fact, of that. Not an evil version of anything.
I love him in this movie.
He is tremendous. And everything he does in this movie is awesome.
And he's not a bad guy. He's just being himself.
I think of him as like, you know, he's kind of shitty.
Yeah.
He's definitely not somebody that you would think, oh, this is a good idea for a sex partner.
Yeah, pretty much.
We'll really hear why he's a terrible sex partner later, but I mean, he's got a reputation. He's infamous.
Yeah.
He just beds women left and right. Like, are you sure? are you sure you want to go this route? I don't think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
But you know what? Here you are. And Peter is making, now I wouldn't have done this. Like,
the Kapua
Peter's
suite.
like, I'm just going to totally stay in the Kapua suite. I'm going to stay at this hotel. Nah, you're going to say, okay, I just need to be here for a little bit until we can find a hotel room somewhere else. And I need to go.
Yes. Get the hell out of here. It's like, I can't afford this room. Nobody can. It's like Oprah.
Yes.
Now here's the thing. Aldous Snow is the lead singer of one of the biggest bands in the world. He can't afford to buy a new pair of sandals. He's so concerned.
You would think, I would have thought he would have had like a few dozen pairs, like his personal assistant and everything else like around him. But oddly enough, no, he and Sarah Marshall, who's, you know, also like a presumably a high paid television actress, they don't have any of their like assistants around them. It's just them.
No, I mean, if she lived with Peter, that apartment was kind of crappy for a TV actress, I would think. Which is probably part of the reason why she left him.
I think that might be certainly part of it. But the first couple of times I watched this movie, certainly the first time I watched it, I thought she was just awful.
Mm-hmm.
And was like, there's no redeeming quality to her whatsoever. You're better off without her. Now, of course, that was only because I was relating to like Peter's position and from his point of view. But later on in the movie, you get Sarah's point of view.
Yeah.
And she makes a lot of valid points about their relationship and about why things wound up the way they did. I mean, it's not excusing some of her behavior that's revealed later, but when it comes right down to it, yeah, their relationship was doomed to implode because Peter wasn't really in it.
Yeah.
He was just coasting along, not doing his part to help maintain the relationship or to, you know, to keep it fresh and keep it good. So if anything, he's as much to blame for his own misery. And boy, are they going at it here.
Yeah. Oh boy.
I mean, you got a dude who's like, he's putting a rabbit to shame, I think.
Yeah.
That was impressive.
Yeah.
And
now we see the Kapua suite.
The Kapua suite's impressive.
Yeah,
this is a really nice room. And what's he doing? Lounging on the couch, watching his ex-girlfriend's TV show. Stop it.
Yes. This is the one thing you don't do.
And crying at sunset on the balcony. I love the phone call here.
Yes.
We got reports of a woman crying.
No, I'm not crying.
It's like, I think it's one of the floors above me. It's like, you're on the top floor, Peter. Oh. I love how he lowers his voice.
Oh, it's not me.
It's like, you getting complaints about a woman crying? Yeah, oh, I hear her too. She sounds like she's having a really tough time. My God. But Jason Segel's delivery. According to him, this was a pretty personal movie for him because he had gone through something very similar to this, and of course he is the lead writer on the film.
Yeah, I think it was, the rumor is that this was written about Linda Cardellini because they dated when they were on Freaks and Geeks together, I guess, apparently.
That would kind of make sense. And here's Jonah Hill.
Yes, very funny.
Greg Phillips' favorite, Jonah Hill.
Yes.
is really not.
No? Okay. I don't know Greg as well as you guys all do. So, sometimes I'm a little lost on the in-jokes like Jenny's hatred of The Rock and stuff like that. I'm not quite up there yet, guys.
Yeah, you'll pick up on them as we go. But yeah, this was after Superbad, I believe. Yes. Or was it?
Probably around the same time. He's got the same look. Jonah Hill actually had a few different looks. When he's like that with like the fro going, you know, he's kind of a dick. And then when he has the glasses on and he's kind of like, you know, got the hair that's a little down, then he's like the dork kind of thing, like in Accepted and movies like that, or Grandma's Boy.
Or the spinoff to this movie, Get Him to the Greek.
Yes.
Where Russell Brand's character, Aldous, is the main character, mm-hmm. but Jonah Hill is back, but playing a completely different mm-hmm. character within this same universe.
So Superbad came out the year before.
Okay, that would make sense, because he looks a little bit younger in that movie to me.
Yeah.
But now we get to Aldous and
Sarah.
Sarah sitting there at dinner in the same restaurant, of course they are. and he's like, come on over, like, join us. I'm like, that's just weird, man. Don't do that. Oh my God, Jonah Hill's like the starstruck waiter, and like he's just trying to pimp his own mixtape.
I love when he's seeing Jason Segel. He's like, do you want a magazine or something? It's gonna be awfully boring. And then go ahead, Russ.
all around him are happy couples. This one couple just like got engaged, and man, it's like, this really, really sucks. Like, I don't understand why he doesn't just like pack up and go.
Yeah.
Like, this is too much. This is like, life is just beating you about the head and neck area with misery.
And now Sarah confronts him like, did you follow me? I want to know.
He's like, although he's telling the truth here, like, Hawaii is a beautiful place. People come here are not always to follow you. I mean,
it's not all about you.
Sarah really has that this is all about me kind of attitude, but given the circumstances, it's not hard to imagine that Peter might have followed her out there.
Yeah.
I mean, so his behavior is certainly indicative of somebody who might do that. This guy.
Dwayne, the bartender.
Yeah. Yes, my God, he's hilarious.
Now, something I caught one night while I was watching this. Now, the scene where he does the Sex and the City impression, if you look in the background, there's a woman walking by that looks awfully like Cynthia Nixon.
Oh, we're about to be on top of that.
Yeah.
So I'm... Oh, my God.
I just noticed it one night watching this on cable or something like that. I'm like, was she there? And she just put her in the seat?
Are we sure that wasn't her?
I don't know. I mean, it looks an awful lot like her. And she laughs.
Really did.
Yeah.
Oh, and now the drunken reasoning at the bar with the idiots.
Yes. He's like, the way she's – yes, Jack McBrayer's there. And Dwayne's just like setting him straight. Like, I can't go. No, it's that easy. I tell you. I live in South Central. And now I'm here. I can name 1,000 fish.
As I moved to Oahu, I can have 200 different kinds of fish. That's it. And now they're just starting naming off fish that start with G. And it's like, what's the state fish of Hawaii? I could never have said that out.
Humahumahumanuka,
whatever. Yeah, that was impressive.
Yes.
And of course, Mila Kunis shows up just looking oh so fine.
Yes.
And this guy's like, he's like trying to explain how he doesn't understand his wife or understand what she wants. And well, this is what happens whenever you you go with that form of sex education.
Yeah,
like, it leaves you so woefully prepared for life.
It's like the Da Vinci Code, a lot harder to crack. And there I am, off to find the magic clitoris.
The mythical clitoris.
And he's got the phone on the belt. He's like, this guy has never gotten laid in his life.
No, for sure not. He is terrified, but it's one of those one of those triumphant moments, I think, later on in the movie. Like, you feel really good for that guy. Like, he really broke through a barrier there, yeah. So to speak.
Yes.
But the I like how Mila's character here is trying to be nice to Peter. She's trying to, you know, get him to look on the bright side of things. Like, you know, you're not so bad. Like, you're actually a pretty good guy. You just, you know, you're in a crappy situation right now, and you know, you just got to try to find the silver lining, or like the bright side, and see that you're a human being who has worth. And right here, I think she's realizing that he's kind of hitting bottom. Although I really appreciate his drunken rendition of the Muppet Show thing.
Yes, yes. And you look around the Kapua suite, and there are glasses, bottles, everything. He has really been boozing it up.
But this is – it's a great little bit of foreshadowing there too, because prior to this movie, he was actually working on a musical with puppets.
Yes.
And funnily enough, that becomes a story element in this movie. Mm-hmm. And a pretty great one at that. And of course, now we're getting introduced to a waiter who will come back into play a little bit later.
Yes.
That was something I didn't see coming. Like, that was a nice little way to show the completely different sides of Hawaii. Like, yeah, you've got the touristy stuff where pretty much all your pale ass white people hang out. And here we are with a Christian couple trying to have sex. He's like, does that feel good? Okay, because it hurts me.
He's like, no, God put our mouths on our heads for a reason. No. And he's trying anything and everything to like kind of like get away from his wife. Like, oh, hello, friend. Can I talk to you and not be near my wife?
And her frustration is coming out. Like, you can kind of like feel the tension like rising between them. And it's like, man, you are in real trouble here, buddy.
Now he gets the hook up with the little extra bottle of Malibu, little airplane bottle.
He's like, oh, this guy was really nice to me. But I think this is all illustrating just how weird tourists are.
Yes.
Like, you've got that side of it. And now I'm into the formerly deleted yoga scene with Kristen Wiig.
Ah.
And that is this is a scene I feel like they should have probably left in the movie. I know they probably cut it for time, but – Peter drunkenly walks into Kristen Wiig's yoga studio.
Yes. And
she proceeds to just be, you know, really difficult with him.
Yeah, like he can't do all these poses and everything.
I mean, it was – first, you can't bring booze in. No, okay, fair enough. And she is just – she is gushing over Aldis. But she cannot get enough of this dude.
Well, I mean, come on. He's a charming lead singer of – it's like basically like probably like Axl Rose or somebody coming to your resort maybe. Maybe Axl Rose, is that a good comparison? I don't know. Vince Neil, Brett Michaels.
Yeah, like definitely the hot rock star of the day. Like, that's who – she is just all about some of that. Russell Brand, pretty flexible.
Yeah.
Definitely does yoga on his own. And I loved how – she was all about this gushing over him, and then says to Sarah, oh, I recognize you too from your TV show. You seemed like you'd be much taller. And she's like, I'm not. Clearly. So it's like, okay, Kristen Wiig is going to be a complete bitch to both Sarah and to Peter.
Yes.
Yeah, mostly because she's definitely jealous of Sarah, but with Peter, she just looks at him like, the hell are you even doing in my class? This is for people who have, you know, actually done yoga before. Although her instructions are seem like two wildly different ideas of like stretching one's back.
Yes, yeah. She is playing it similar to the role she played in Knocked Up, where she was like an executive or something, kind of being that nasty under her breath kind of bitch kind of thing.
Oh, for sure. Like, she is totally that. And Now she's all leaned up on Aldous. This is not a sexual advancing at all. Peter's like really the only one in the room sweating, but all that alcohol is just coming out.
Yes. Oh God.
And she's like, okay, we're going to do the advanced move now where you're going to stand on your head. And she was like, but if you haven't done this move before, if you're new, you can just lay on your mat in child's pose. It's fine. And Peter's like, lady, I got it. And I was like, no, Peter, you really don't.
No, he doesn't.
But I do love this part, though, where he's just like grunting. Like he's trying really hard to get up there. He kind of succeeds here for a second.
Yeah.
He's like really straining. She's like, I don't want you to break your neck. But I was like, is that what's going up? My legs, that's what. I'm doing a handstand, motherfucker. I'm doing a handstand.
I'm doing it.
It's like, okay, you can let go. And he's like, oh, thank God. I mean, I would be impressed with myself if I did like a non-wall assisted handstand.
Yeah, I think so. At this point right now, yeah.
But now we get probably the most quoted character from the movie, Chuck.
Chuck.
Or excuse me, Kunu.
Kunu.
As played by Paul Rudd.
Yes.
It's like, what's Kunu mean? It means Chuck.
I just put it in the internet.
Yeah, it's like, I put it in this database and it just spits out your Hawaiian name. It's like, I'm Peter. It's like, okay, Peter, I'm going to give you a Hawaiian name. Oh, great. Piopi.
Piopio.
Oh, God. He is the total like stoner slacker who just moved to Hawaii and said, huh, I wonder what job I can make up.
Yes. What can I do and not do anything, really?
He's like, I'll run this snorkel, mat, and surfboard rental shop, but also call myself a surfing instructor.
Yeah. Kind of like role reversal when they do I Love You, Man later.
Absolutely. Look, these two have killer chemistry together.
Yes.
This movie was the first example of that, but you're absolutely right. I Love You, Man is one of the funniest comedies that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And it's large, and it's all built on the chemistry between Paul Rudd and Jason Segel.
Yes.
But you're right. It's total role reversal from this. Paul Rudd just can't help but be charming.
Yeah. Just don't do anything. Just don't. You know, you're doing too much.
The secret to surfing is don't do anything. Do nothing. He's like, okay, pop up. And he's like, well, no, you got to do more than that. That wasn't quite it. We'll figure it out.
Let's go surfing now. Everybody's learning how. Oh, the weather outside is weather.
Yes. One of the greatest lines in comedy history. Yeah. Followed by this other one. Well, when life gives you lemons, just say fuck the lemons and bail.
Hey, I stopped wearing a watch when I moved out here. Yeah, my phone
has a clock
on it, so I don't need to.
That's sort of the same thing. And here he figures his own age as being 44, which I think is probably a little older than he actually is in this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, he just turned 50. Or Paul Rudd just turned 50 this year.
So this is 11 years ago.
He was a bit younger than that then.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's like, if you get attacked by a shark, are you going to give up surfing? Probably.
Yeah. Yeah, I would think so.
Yes. Like I don't think that's really for me anymore. Bill Heater gives what member of the Brat Pack are you with that hat? Look like one of the guys suspected of killing JFK.
Are you in the Buena Vista Social Club?
I love how he's trying to pretend like Bill Heater's trying to pretend like his wife isn't also doing a webcam call with him.
Yeah. Because he's not like, you know, taking direction from anybody.
It's like, hi, Liz. And there she is. She just finally gives up and comes on the end of frame. It's like, just get out there and meet people. We meet people on vacation all the time. You know, I don't know what kind of people they are. I've never been that sociable.
No.
If I'm on vacation, I'm kind of in leave me the fuck alone mode.
The only time you're sociable is if, I don't know if you've ever been on a cruise, you end up eating with the same people all week. So you gotta, you know, fuck it. I'm eating dinner with these people 7 nights. I gotta make conversation with them.
Well, in that case, sure. Like you're on a boat, you know, you're
trapped.
What else are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know, you got to make peace with the people you're with. Otherwise, you know, somebody may be going overboard. Yes. Not necessarily opposed to that option, but I'm just saying that it's, you know, shouldn't be your go-to.
Yeah.
But on, like, I've never been on a cruise, so that's one of the least appealing aspects of it. When it comes to like going on a long vacation, like going somewhere I've definitely never been or, you know, certainly don't know anyone, I'm kind of like, okay, I'm just kind of here to see the sights and, you know, go around and interact with people only in the minimum possible amount.
Yeah.
Like exactly. I am not here to like make lifelong friends or do anything like that. Now, if it happens, I'd be okay. I'm not opposed. I'm just saying, don't be this.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what it's like to just go out there and say, hi, I'm just going to go meet some random stranger and then we're going to become friends.
Yeah. Vacation people are not the same people when you're not on vacation.
No, definitely not. Like, I was like, I don't know this person's life. They could be completely psychotic for all I know.
And it just happens to be the 4th of July in Hawaii.
Yeah. You know, it seems like it would be a good time of year to go.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know what the super busy holidays for Hawaii are. I do appreciate Peter's attempt just now where he was asking Mila Kunis to actually go out and do something outside the like a non-hotel function. it's progress. It's growth.
Yeah.
He's making the attempt, maybe not necessarily with the person I would advise him to make that attempt with, but, you know, okay, you're giving it a shot. You're trying. And speaking of try hard, here comes Jonah Hill to call out Aldous Snow as being in the crowd where he's kind of been trying to lay low.
Yeah.
How about this kid?
Yeah.
Matthew. Yes. That's my brother's name, by the way.
Ah.
But this Matthew is a severe tryhard, and Aldous is trying to like play like he's going to be humble about it. Bullshit. You're going to go up there and ham it up.
It's a humble brag.
Yeah. He's just like, I'm trying to be incognito here. Okay.
Well, you know, the audience awaits.
He's like, I'm just going to go up here and sing this totally not sexually suggestive tune.
To Sarah Marshall with her plunging neckline there.
Yeah, that is an impressively plunged neckline.
Yes.
Luckily, this random Hawaiian guitarist knows my songs. Not that they're, you know, terribly difficult or anything, but this song is called Inside You.
Yes. I actually downloaded this song on iTunes. I love it.
It's a great tune. It's sung like this, like, really powerful ballad, and it just took Jonah Hill from 6 to midnight.
Yes. Yes, just very, you know, let's all go to a family luau, and then this guy's up there grinding, and there's Jonah Hill singing along.
So talking, poor redhead newlywed. She's like, I wish I knew what it was like to have something inside me. Now, this guy, I'm trying to remember what his name is. I think he's going to introduce himself here.
Kimo.
I
love this. He's one of my favorite characters in the movie. Just a big Hawaiian dude. Just, hey, here, have a beer, man.
Yeah, he's like, you're... He kind of gets, see, this is the kind of dude that I would want to hang out with.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, you need a beer, man. Like, you've had a long, hard day, clearly. And it's like, I know about you and Rachel, or you and Sarah dating from everybody.
You told Chuck, you told Rachel.
And it's like, it's like The Sopranos. It's over. Ucho. But he's nice about it. He's like, come here, man. You need a hug.
Yeah.
Look at him. He's just a big cuddly Hawaiian.
Yeah. Who you learn not to fuck with.
Oh, you certainly don't. Nope. Now I don't know about this next part. This is one of the weirder moments of the movie where they're like, now murder this pig with this knife. Stab the pig, Peter. And then he stabs the pig. How did he not stab Chemo just then? You can stop crying now. He's dead.
You're being a baby. You're a baby.
I don't cry. I'm not a baby. Really? You look like a gigantic baby. that is tremendous. Now, I do love too that they incorporate so much of like Hawaii's culture. Like I was saying before, like you've seen the touristy side of it, mm-hmm. but now we're going to move into, you know, how the, I guess the way locals in Hawaii can probably mm-hmm. be is, you know, don't intrude on territory that's not yours.
Yeah. Very territorial people, those Hawaiians.
A certain segment of the population, certainly, and Peter's going to learn that lesson the hard way. But, you know, I figure that's probably how it is in a lot of touristy areas. Like you have the areas where the tourists are okay, you stay there, you're fine. You know, it's a real live and let live kind of situation. But once you start trying to overstep and go into places that are definitely not for you, things can get a little dicey.
Yeah. And Peter obviously doesn't have good choice in shirts because she tells him to change his shirt. You know, and earlier in the movie, the shirt was terrible. So, yeah.
Yeah, stop. It's like, stop wearing the Hawaiian shirts and dress like a human being. And, yeah, no offense to the manager, Todd Weber. I love your Hawaiian shirt collection.
Yes. So, some guys just can and can't pull it off. That's all it is.
Todd pulls it off.
Yeah.
Jason Segel, not so much.
Not so much. And also the ones he chooses aren't too appealing either, though.
No, no. He is definitely a member of the Buena Vista Club.
Yes.
That was not working out for him at all. That hat was a bad choice, too.
Oh, God.
And now Rachel is this is nice. Like Rachel is getting a little personal with him, like, you know, saying, here's my story. Like, I moved out here, you know, for a surfer dude. And he was going pro, but caught him cheating, so we broke up. But she decided not to go back home.
Yeah,
she just decided, you know what, I'm going to make a life of it here in Hawaii, and you know, I like it here.
Yeah,
it's there. You go, making the best. She is probably the best thing that could have happened to him because she is absolutely calling him out on his bullshit and. Like
she's kind of been through it and she just rolled with the punches.
Yeah. Yeah, like she is absolutely giving him exactly what it's not what he wants to hear. It's what he needs to hear.
Yeah.
Like he's been down in the dumps. He hates his job. And now I think she's finally gotten him to admit that.
Yeah.
That he doesn't want to do this anymore, that he wants to do something that sounds, you know, completely crazy. He wants to write this rock opera with using, you know, puppets, which whenever you say it out loud sounds insane. Like,
yeah,
but the thing is, like, you can do this. Like, if you've set your mind to wanting to do it, if this is what's going to make you happy, you should at least give it, you know, every chance to succeed. But I love Rachel's character so much for that because she doesn't, you know, allow him to just wallow in his own shit anymore.
Yeah.
She's like, no, you're going to be honest with me because I've been honest with you. Mm-hmm. Although this side of her personality is somewhat terrifying.
She's just like total.
Here's her.
Oh, motherfucker, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, it's like, here's her ex-boyfriend covered, like a Hawaiian dude covered in tattoos. I mean, he looks like he's, you know, probably a MMA fighter.
Yeah.
And his best buddy is the waiter who gave him the extra booze at the breakfast buffet and then hits him in the face. Uh-oh, Chemo.
Chemo.
Boom, open hand slap.
Oh, what are you doing? And he just takes the two of them and just, like, you know, starts going to town. And he's got to pull her out of there. Basically, he just picks her up and goes, let's go.
After we go through this fight, I wonder if he's going to be like, okay, man, I'll see you at the buffet tomorrow.
And there's a Hawaiian version of More Than Words by Extreme.
I'm trying to remember the name of that band, but they're an actual band. I believe they're called Aloha Sex Juice.
Oh, well, that's a great name for a band.
And they are on the Forgetting Sarah Marshall soundtrack.
Ah. Which you may hear. You may hear some songs from at some points in the show.
Oh, I certainly hope so, because the soundtrack for this movie is loaded.
Yeah.
And the best parts of it are the original songs.
Mm-hmm.
I hesitate to call it a musical, but it has, you know, a couple of moments where you could almost, you know, put it in that category.
And now he tells, you know, he's like, oh, you want me to get this? He's like, don't dote on me. And then it goes to him, you know, and Sarah, where he's basically like sitting there making, you know, doing everything for her. And he's being called Andre the Giant and Mutombo to get out of the picture.
Yeah, he's starting to come to the realization that their relationship sucked.
Yeah.
And here's all these girls' pictures in the bathroom who have flashed for the camera, including Photoshop Mila Kunis. That's not her.
Yeah, I know. I've heard that.
Yeah, it's her head on someone else's body. But the bar owner made that some kind of artistic collage over the men's urinal, which is just a trough.
Yeah, not a big fan of the troughs.
Not a fan at all. No. What? I walk into a bathroom and all there is a trough. I'm like, this is my nightmare.
Luckily, it's only happened to me once, I think, in a stadium.
It's like, this is a horror show.
Yes.
This is not what I want to be a part of. Is there a stall?
Yes.
Oh, talk about like forcing Peter to get out of his comfort zone, which is another thing I believe he really needed here. He tells Rachel that he's a songwriter, and now she has gone to the band, and they're calling him up on stage, which is, you know, as someone who has played in bands before, I can tell you this is something that doesn't happen. But for the purposes of this movie, it'll work, I guess.
Yeah.
She's like, I want to hear a song from your Dracula musical. And he's like, this song does not fit the vibe of this place.
Yeah.
But Rachel is insistent. He's like, you
know, Dracula musical.
He's like, I'm a professional musician. I can play anything. I could play something else. Why do you want to hear that? Oh, all these folks just sitting there waiting. Like, you going to do it, buddy? I fucking love this song. It is tremendous.
Yes. Getting harder and harder.
I really hope that we can insert this song right about here just so people can hear what we're talking about. But if you haven't, if you've never listened to songs from the Dracula musical and Forgetting Sarah Marshall, you just got to do yourself that favor and go check them out. It is some of the best of them. The look on Rachel's face right now is so good. Oh, but now she's getting in on the joke. She's like, okay, that's actually pretty funny. Ew, Mike. I want this to be an actual musical.
Yes.
I want this to be a full-on puppet show musical, Dracula as written by Jason Segel, because this song, I love that dude too in the bar. He's loving this. Lady, I guess it's his wife in front of him, was like, that's not – what's so funny about that? I was like, can't you hear it? It's hilarious.
Yeah, the locals have no idea what to make of this guy. They're all kind of like, what is happening right now?
Yeah, most people in the room are not getting this, but the few who are definitely into it.
Yeah.
And it's not that Rachel really loved the song. I think she just saw Peter being himself. And that I feel like this is a big turning point for his character in dealing with everything that's happened. He got up and got out of his comfort zone and allowed people to see him for who he is. And now he's starting to really feel like himself again.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, there you go. You're getting out of your comfort zone, though he is going to maybe misread or like overstep a little bit here.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a misread, but at the same time, he he does the good thing here, though. He takes the no.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, cool. Like, he's like, I probably like misread that situation. The handshake is a little awkward, but
yes, that's always awkward.
He's like, but okay, that's cool. Like, it was a good night. It was still a fun time, and it's going to be a good memory. But he was a little mortified about the ending there. Although now she's probably thinking, why did I pull away?
Yeah,
that's what I took that look on her face to mean was. Like, I don't, like, she reflexively pulled away because maybe she wasn't quite ready for that, but at the same time, she's kicking herself for it. And of course, he has to see Aldous and Sarah all cuddled up in a hammock.
And it's back to the bar. Now, this time we have Kunu.
Reintroducing himself like it's the first time. He's like, I know, man. It's a, oh, yeah, that guy who works with a. No. He's like, I'm Peter. We had a nice talk out on the water. That's cool. How high are you right now, man? Now.
And then Dwayne just kind of called. You didn't have a date. She's in customer service. I bet you think strippers like you, too. I love that
one. I mean, that. Dwayne has a point there.
Yeah.
It's like. Not. This was a little bit of a different. I mean, Dwayne's a little bit wrong here, too, because that was a little bit of a different situation.
Yeah.
But at the same time, just on the surface, he's not necessarily wrong. Peter probably, you know, on the surface was reading a little bit too much into that. But over the course of the date, I think that Rachel really was starting to actually really like him.
Yeah.
How about God would not put a playground next to a sewage system?
I love that line. If God was a city planner.
We're not having fun fucking. I'm stabbing her private parts.
Right before that, they were talking about the ex-boyfriend, Greg. I love Greg. I saw him beat up a guy with a starfish once.
Starfish. That dude was me.
And now he's like wailing himself in the head.
He is having... I mean... This is the part where Peter's got to be like, man, I thought I had it bad. This guy, I mean, his like just horny as hell redhead wife. Now here comes the classic line from Paul Rudd. Like her hair. Wonder if the carpet matches her pubes. Killer. Every time, Paul Rudd.
Yes.
Oh, man. And now Sarah's about to get the worst news she's had yet.
Mm-hmm.
Her show, Crime Scene, Scene of the Crime. Yes, you heard that right. Has been canceled. But here's the thing. I love the deep character studies that start to happen here because Aldous calls her out right here because she seems kind of disheveled. Like she seems a little upset that – the show has been canceled, and I was like, well, that's what you wanted.
Yeah, you wanted it.
It's like, you know, this is something that you should be happy about. Now, why don't you come out on tour with me, and I'll serenade you every night in front of thousands of women.
You could be the sorrow sucker.
You'd be the queen of the sorrow suckers. It's like, I don't know why we call them that. Like, I'm sure you don't.
And he tells her he's going on an 18-month tour just now. Like, they're leaving in 2 weeks. Like, when were you going to tell me?
She's like, but I have a job. He's like, not anymore. You're an unemployed actress. Like, queen of the groupies, queen of the sorrow suckers. She seems a little off-put by the name.
Yeah, I think so.
Matthew's back.
What's up, Mark? Shocker. Complimentary coconut cake.
I was like, oh, God, you can keep that, Matthew.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. It's Hawaii. Coconut everywhere, everything. Everybody loves it. No.
I don't.
No, I don't either. Like coconut. No, please take that away.
I was quite happy to see both Mounds and Almond Joy get knocked out in the first round of the candy tournament.
You and me both. They are atrocities. They should not exist. Like, yes. Kick them off the candy tournament.
Yes.
I was, however, very saddened when Snickers knocked out my beloved Crunch.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, my whatchamacallit and Twix, got knocked out, so.
Yeah, I thought Twix got knocked out way too early.
Mm-hmm.
It should have gone, I think, Final Four.
Yeah, there were some candies got some tough draws. Some candies had some good runs. I mean, Dotsa, number 23, I think, went to the Elite Eight, I think.
You know, and as much as certain individuals were shitting all over a Hershey bar, it sure did make it pretty far in the tournament.
Yeah. So back to the movie. This is one of my favorite parts where Jonah Hill does his impression of Aldous Snow. Oh, that guy was my waiter. He's been a major, major, major influence on me.
Is that stupid English voice supposed to be me?
Unfortunately. I feel terrible. don't tell anybody I gave this to you.
You're really going to like it. I'll listen to it when you've gone. And he's totally not going to do
that. Yeah, you just see him toss it. He's like, yeah, that's his. It's not going much further.
He's like, why am I holding this? But at least I like this transition. Like, we're starting to notice the transition physically in Peter.
Yeah.
No longer wearing the Hawaiian shirts. He's wearing clothes that are more like him.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's meeting Sarah at the bar, and he's finding out that the show was canceled, so he's unemployed too.
Yeah, and he doesn't seem to be that stressed.
He is not. Like, he's more trying to comfort her than he is worried about his own job. And I think this is an interesting moment here. Like, Peter's calling Sarah out on her bullshit because she's trying to talk like it's an interview on The View. And he's like, you can be real with me. You can talk to me like a real person. And then her guard completely comes down, and here she is having a full on freak out over her show being gone.
Yeah. I mean, I not that I know what it's like, but you know, I am divorced, and there are times sometimes my ex-wife will like give me some line of bullshit, and I just look at her like, just give me this. What's going on? You know, look, we were together for how long? We have two kids. You can actually talk to me once in a while. It's okay.
Yeah, so it's like you don't necessarily lose that side of a relationship with somebody. I mean, just because you're not together anymore doesn't mean you don't still just know this person.
Yeah.
Because who they are as a person is still pretty much the same. And here they are having a real conversation.
Yeah.
But this is where Peter is making another good transition. He's thinking back on some times that he's had with Sarah where he was trying to get her to be supportive, or he was, you know, at least trying to get her to be part of his world, and she just didn't want to be.
Yeah.
So that's a good strategy for helping to get over somebody. Oh, here we go. Sex lessons with Aldous.
Yes.
Using the giant chessboard on the beach.
It's like, yes, because your religion, right?
Is that we can't? Oh, why? Right, because of God and everything. Well, that's not a problem, because God should be present in the bedroom.
And you should stimulate the clitoris.
Is that penetrate deeply, stimulate the clitoris simultaneously? So if you can involve the anus in that, that's pure perfection. Explore her ears. I mean, if anybody can teach you, oh God, the new phone call with Bill Heater that launched 1,000 shrug gifts.
Yes.
Oh God, I love this moment.
Yeah.
He's being insufferable again. Like, he and his wife Liz just become like totally just, I don't know, like insufferable is the right word. Like, it's like you're at this point, it's just, you know, shut the fuck up.
Yes. Hey Liz, can you get closer? Further? Closer? Further?
Closer to the camera, no further away. Can you move closer to the mic? Move your head up, down, up, down, a little closer.
I know what you're doing.
I know what you're doing. That's not funny at all. You stop that. What? Did you have that pearl necklace before?
And there's the shrug.
Oh, that's there it is.
I want to suck your blood.
See, she is funny. Like, she is. She really should get more work in Hollywood. It sucks that that she's not like used more often.
Yeah, I mean, she was good in Bad Moms.
Yeah, I thought that movie was pretty funny.
That's funny how her and Kristen Bell are actually friends in that movie.
Oh my God, Kristen Bell! Kristen Bell is another one that doesn't seem to have like a ton of work. Well, she's on that TV show, The Good Place.
Yeah, which is hysterical.
I've still never watched it.
Ah, oh, good. And then here's Dwayne. I love this part. Come on, it's teacher amazing. They fuck for like 9 hours. It's magical. Nobody's you going snorkeling with me.
I know you feel bad for him. It's like, why won't anybody go snorkeling with me?
Oh yeah, but you know, back to The Good Place. You have to watch it. It's so good and has such. Hopefully, you don't know what the twist is at the end of the first season.
I know nothing.
Oh, it's an incredible twist. Like nobody saw it coming.
And he's like, now we're walking out on the cliffs, and my goodness, those shorts.
Oh, God, yes. Like a bandana almost.
I was talking about Peter's gigantic ones.
Oh, okay.
the surfboard shorts that reach like past his knees.
Yes. Like, oh, I'm sweating so much. I feel like I have some sort of fever.
I mean, this is a good scene. You know, the real taking the leap scene. This is a like truly symbolic of Peter finally letting go.
Yes,
he's going to do the thing that scares him the most, and that is to let go of who he was and letting go of who he was with Sarah, and now like being free to. Turn into the person that he was supposed to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So deep philosophy in this, you know, slap, this like cornball slapstick comedy.
Yeah. And he's just like, you know, talking about taking a leap, and she's like, why don't you? He's like, no, I was being metaphorically, we're on a cliff. I'm not going to do that.
Like,
does he misread again? Just go for it.
So, but she totally just jumps off the cliff.
Yep.
And you're like, oh God, I made her kill herself. But nope, she's fine. But the lesson for Peter here is, you know, go all the way. Don't half-ass this, because if you half do it, you're going to like. Damn near kill yourself.
I love this. And she, come up here. I'll jump. I can see your vagina.
I can see your hoo-ha.
And then he does jump and he sees it awkwardly.
It's like he was going to do a cartwheel or something off of it and like totally screws up.
Now he's hanging on by the weeds.
It's like, please don't let me die today. It's like, and she's like, if you drop straight down, you'll just land on rocks.
Like, oh, great.
He's like, totally.
You got to push yourself out. Just jump off the fucking rock.
He's like, just get off the fucking rock, Peter.
Come on.
He's like, you can totally do it.
Just let go.
Two and a half. And there he goes. Graceful landing.
Yes.
Actually, yeah, if he had dropped straight down, he really would have landed on a rock. Holy yeah. Shit, I didn't realize how close those were.
Wow. Now, finally, we get the first kiss of Rachel and Peter.
It happens, and then, of course, she's, like, swimming away. Oh, and our couple is finally having sex.
Yes.
He's finally figured it out. With the short. Oh, my God. What kind of position is this? I'm cramping.
I'm cramping.
I mean, good for him. Oh, God. Kilo has walked in on Peter naked.
Peter.
There's a, let's see. There's a empty bottle of booze there. Dakota Fanning and her people, they need this room.
You need to get out.
So, I mean, I have to leave the hotel. Oh, Ken found you a room. He's like, are those sad tissues or happy tissues?
Why don't you just give me a few minutes?
I mean, and of course, the room he got was right next to Sarah and Aldous.
It was the only room available. Sure it was. Back to Kina.
I can't decide if the reason they're not good together is because they're so different from each other or because they're way too much alike.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, but now, oh, Peter's growing like a, you know, ever since that cliff jump and the kiss with Rachel, he's growing a real pair of balls. He's like, I want to get out there and surf. I'm going to stand up on this board, damn it.
I'm going to ride away before I leave.
And he's like, I'm ready to ride with giants. I think you're ready. And it's not going well.
And then here's Kimo. Petey!
I mean, there you go. He's having a good time. He's just laying down on the board. You know, because screw it. Now, the Kristen Bell, Mila Kunis scene.
Yes.
Oh, we both still kind of have a thing for Peter. or Rachel is growing a thing for Peter. And, well, I think Sarah's coming to the realization that she might not be completely moved past him. But she's realizing this chick is really hot.
Yeah, and really cool.
Yep. She is so much better for Peter than you are.
Yeah. Nice for Vinny. Yeah.
It's like now it's yeah, now she's gonna do the thing where she's like, oh, but he was my ex, I'm not over him, oh no.
He's such a good guy and you know.
Yeah.
Don't cry, Miss Marshall. No, I'm not gonna cry. You're crying.
It's such an interesting dichotomy. Like, she tries this to, you know, get, or I guess to kind of dissuade Rachel. But when this doesn't work, she's going to be like really mean at dinner later.
Yes.
Although that back and forth was really great.
That is great.
And it gets a bit meta.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that. I don't want to get too far ahead of the movie, but I love it whenever movies will get meta like that, and this one has just a tremendous scene of it.
And
oh God! And here's Peter with this guy, Aldous Snow, just sitting out on the board like he's not surfing. He's just like, I just want to come out here and commune with the ocean.
I just want to be one with the ocean, you know.
But this is where Aldous proves to be kind of cool, because he's like, he was listening to Sarah's iPod and it was just terrible. But then he found something he really liked, and it was one of Peter's songs. It was from the Dracula musical. And he was like, it was like a gothic Neil Diamond, and it was great. And Peter's like, that is exactly what I was going for.
Yeah, you know, it seems like under different circumstances, had Peter and Aldous met, you know, Peter would probably have been a successful songwriter. You know, under all this.
I mean, I thought that could have been like a potential follow-up for this movie is, you know, Peter works as a professional songwriter, maybe even ghost, or like, maybe not necessarily ghostwriting, but like he could be writing Infant Sorrow songs.
Yeah. Hollywood, are you listening?
There's your sequel, like Infant Sorrow on the comeback tour, but we need new material. Calls up Peter. I was like, you're a pretty genius songwriter there, dude, but now we find out the ugly truth that Aldous and Sarah have been having sex with each other for a year, meaning that she has been cheating on Peter for quite some time.
Yes. What about the code of the ocean? What about the code of not sleeping with somebody else's woman?
And yeah, this is a pretty tough pill to swallow, but I think this was the moment when Peter was probably really ready to hear something like that.
Yeah.
He needed to get angry. He needed that last push. I think that final push to just being really pissed off with her. And now he's going to like collide with Aldous.
Not on purpose, but yeah.
No, totally not on purpose. But he finally stood up on a surfboard and that's where it took him.
Yeah.
But Aldous didn't come back up.
Mm.
So, oh shit. He's like, you know, hate the dude. Like I wanted to punch him in the face, but I wasn't trying to murder him.
Yeah. And here's another great Chuck scene.
Every Chuck scene is great.
Oh yes.
But this one is a particular favorite. So, can you get that piece of coral out of my leg, please?
Come on, hotel man.
Hotel, they get all weirded out with insurance. Kunu, can you call the front desk?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah. And he's just going to stand there and look at it.
All right, monster man. Just Peter, pull it out. I have a thing about blood. I can't.
So, Peter, get it out of my fucking leg, please. Boy, it's really in there.
Oh, fuck my ass. And then
the blood just gushes out of his leg, and he's like, and Peter's done. And they're coming wiki. Can you get me some towels, please?
I'm in a lot of blood. You sound like you're from London.
That's it. You sound like you're from London. Yeah, I'm from London.
I'm from London. I'm also bleeding out on your beach, asshole. And then Peter wakes up next to Sarah.
Yep. In their room with Aldous still passed out on the bed.
Yeah.
Peter's gigantic ass is on this bench/couch looking thing. And now he confronts Sarah about the whole cheating thing.
Edward Scissorhands over there.
Yeah, I was like, you were fucking for a whole goddamn year. And yep, she knows she's caught. However, this is also the moment when she finally really lets him have it.
Yeah, it wasn't really. It wasn't about this. It was about this. Is what it was really about, Peter.
Yes, like Peter was in his own little world. He was not in the relationship with Sarah. He was in. He was just in a relationship.
Yeah.
He wasn't paying attention to anything that was going on with her. And that's really the crux of it all was. But Peter, you weren't paying attention to her, and everything just spiraled from there. Like, she tried to get your attention. She tried many different things to get your attention, and it just none of it worked.
Yeah, she talked to her mother, talked to therapists, went to sex seminars, everything. You know, and when he stopped trying, she, you know, you wore sweatpants for a week.
Oh, here we go. Wait for it. Gandalf scene. You shall
not pass. Sorry, they were Costco sweatpants, but they were Sean John.
He's missing the point again.
Yes, as usual. He's like, I'm sorry, I tried. No, you didn't really try, Peter.
No, you really kind of didn't. Like, that was the thing. Like that Sarah was trying, and you know, I'm inferring that Sarah was trying to get Peter to engage and like to be part of all this.
Yeah,
and he just wouldn't do it. And he was too stupid to notice what was going on in his own relationship. Like you just assumed that everything was great, that you could just keep living life, but not really meeting your partner's needs.
Yeah.
And that's a hard truth to confront about himself. I think that's why he walked away here, because he's realizing that she was right.
Yeah, he does. You know, he's like, oh, I have no defense here.
He's got nothing. I mean, there's no defense for that. It's like, yeah, you really fucked up there, buddy.
Yeah.
But it's also, isn't it also possible that the reason that you were like that was because you didn't want to be with her?
Yeah, could be.
Like you just got comfortable, and that's all it is. Like you just got comfortable in a relationship, but you weren't actually in the relationship.
And now there's all this, you know, not wearing the shirt she bought him, and then Sarah thinks back to all the things that Peter did for her.
And all the things that she bought for him that he was like embracing and cool, awesome hat. Yeah, thank you. My girlfriend got it for me. I'm fucking with you. Yeah. She's like, oh God, I have terrible taste.
And he asked to borrow her lip gloss. Not something you hear every day.
But
there he is in the Tommy Bahama shirt, yeah. Very uncomfortable. Oh God, this is a bloody small resort.
I love that. This is real Aldous coming out. And look at Peter, sharp dressed man.
There you go. Decked out. I don't know. I don't think I could pull off a white suit like that.
I wouldn't. Yeah, I would not feel comfortable doing it. But and now Jonah Hill's like professing, like just apologizing profusely because he was like, oh my God, I didn't know you were coming. I'm just going to like, I'm going to lose it.
Please don't weep.
There's no need to weep.
I'm not crying.
It's not a problem. Can I go home now? I don't want to be seen in this shirt.
You're wearing the shirt regardless. You're welcome to join us. Okay.
Oh, damn it.
And both their new people are just like, are you kidding me? Are we really going to do this?
Rachel's probably thinking like the same thing that Aldous is, that we're going to do this. We're going to let this happen.
I didn't think she would say yes. I did.
See, Rachel's very perceptive. She's very good at her job.
Yeah.
Like reading people, being perceptive. Yeah, she's great at this. Now, this is fantastic. It all seems very cordial. It's just kind of whatever we're talking about, you know, chit-chat, whatever bullshit. And she's like, didn't you have a movie coming out? And it's like, oh, it came out. It was already released. She's like, oh. Peter's over here trying not to lose it. Movies don't really come out here. It's like, did you like it?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it was an awful bloody film.
And all this is just like, it was bloody. It was bloody awful. What if your mobile phone came to life and killed you? So, mobile phone doesn't have an agenda.
So how can a mobile phone have an agenda to kill people?
And Peter's like, I told her when she read that fucking script.
Like, that script sucked. And this is an actual movie Kristen Bell did.
Really?
Yes, this is an actual movie. That's it. So take the battery out of the phone. That's it. The battle's over. Here's my favorite scene. Ring, ring. Hello. Drop dead.
Could never happen.
I like how Rachel and Sarah are kind of trying to defend the movie in some way.
It's a metaphor for a crap movie.
Yes, it's a metaphor for a crap movie. So it was the right choice for me at the time. She's like, well, okay. And now the awkward silence.
And we're just going to let's drink our wine. A bit awkward now.
This is awkward.
Let's just order more wine. I give the cranberry juice a little lime in it. A cranberry juice or cranberry cocktail? I don't give a shit. Like, I don't care.
Like, probably Russell, both throw some, oh, I don't care. But just, man. I don't know how much these bottles of wine are costing, but man, they're going through them.
I mean, they go through at least four or five of them. And there's three of them drinking.
They've already gone through four just in that. Oh, God, the old guy wearing the same shirt as Aldous. This has got to be at least bottle number six.
Yeah. Oh, I love this. This is one of my favorite exchanges. It's like, you turn or lose yourself in fuck. I mean, I love Sarah's response.
But he's just going. I mean, this is the one thing about Brand is that he can just go on and on. It's funny in this context, though.
Yeah.
And then Sarah's like, amongst all this just drivel that he's been saying, I kind of took the same thing that she said. It was like, so you're basically saying that you have the right to fuck anyone, anytime, just whenever you feel like it? And he's like,
that's what you're saying? Yeah. It's like, yeah, I believe that.
No, I ain't. No, it's just what I believe. It's like, I ain't joking. That way through all the bullshit, and you're telling that you think you have the right just to fuck anywhere, anyone, anywhere, anytime.
That's right. Oh, the shirt! Oh my god!
Take my eyes, but not the shirt. Yeah, that wasn't intentional at all.
No, are you gonna get some seltzer water?
You know, I think I've quite improved it, actually.
And, of course, here comes Matthew flying over.
Oh, yes. Matthew is prepared with the seltzer water and the towel. And he's like, that's all right. I got it. He's like, you're very diligent.
Walk away, walk away now. Bless you.
Bless you. Oh, my God. Dessert came out, and that thing looks amazing.
Yes.
This is just some kind of – that's not even a real bite. Get that man a real bite on that fork. That was just like a little dab of the chocolate icing. No.
Oh, I love that.
That is a souffle.
Ah, they had to put that order in like as soon as you sit down because those take time.
That should have taken like a half hour or better to make.
At least.
And now Sarah's trying to take digs at Hawaii, saying, oh, you can't deal with the real world, so you have to move out here. Like says the Hollywood actress.
Rachel's just like, yeah, there's no pet therapist and everything. And then she just tongues down Peter right in front of her.
She's like, marking him. Yeah. Full on marking her territory like, you want to go?
I'll go. I like living here.
I don't blame her. Hawaii is beautiful.
Yeah.
And if you've been able to make a living in Hawaii, good on you.
Now, I have a question for you, Mr. S. Did you listen to my demo? Did you like it? Did you get it?
I was gonna listen to that, but then I just carried on living my life. Yes. I remember as I was sitting in the theater watching this the first time, and that line was said, the whole room was practically in applause. Like everybody was just laughing, cackling, and just cheering that we all missed everything that Jonah Hill had to say after.
That's great.
But fucking dick. I like him. That was quite moving. Oh, and now Peter's about to have him some fun.
Oh, yeah.
But, dude, you get to have a sex scene with Mila Kunis. Tell me you're not having a good day at work.
Oh, yeah.
Are you sure you're not like too drunk? Is that, will you stop being so sensitive? That, buddy, I think you both have had an equal amount to drink. You were both really putting that wine away. Like how Aldous is just like spread eagle passed out.
And Sarah's like, what is happening? Is he getting laid over there?
Yeah. What did you think was going to happen? They were having a fun night. You two are the ones who were like, you know, kind of shitty.
Yeah, kind of bickering there. And, you know, you're just learning. You're just figuring out that a rock star likes to sleep around.
And that he also might be kind of an awful person.
Yeah. It's like, you know, she's like, Aldous, wake up. Come on. We got to, let's have sex.
Like she's going to, I mean, that's amazing. Like he just woke up and was like, yeah, I'm ready.
I'm ready. Like, let's go.
Like fully hop on board. And now it's like, is she, what's going on here?
Now the battle begins.
What's that? I like the look on Aldous's face. I don't even watch what Kristen is doing. I just watch Russell Brand during this part because he's looking a little more and more weirded out. And then she's full on screaming, and he's just like, what the fuck? Peter is pounding that ass something fierce.
And she's like, forget about that. Just fuck me already.
And I love Alda just throws Sarah off and is like, okay, that's enough. Yeah. It's like, I made a mistake coming here with you. So I'm not done either.
You're still not over him yet.
Well, I say you're still over him next door. You should have seen yourself at dinner. Then we come back and you put on that ghastly performance. I mean, I've heard that women do fake orgasms, but I've never seen one. It really deeply upset me.
I'm Aldous Snow. Bullshit.
What a fucking amazing comeback on Sarah's part. Yes. And now just like
calls out his tattoos.
Destroy him. Like, just like call out everything. He's such a prick. And you know what? Let me tell you something about these tattoos. Oh, that's Buddhist. That's Nordic. That's Hindu. That's just gibberish. They're completely conflicting ideologies, and it doesn't make you a citizen of the world. It makes you full of shit.
Oh, did you fake that too? I hate your music.
Was that real? Was that genuine? Did you fake that? All right. I'm going to probably clear off now.
I hate your music while I fucked the housekeeper the other day.
I can't tell which of them got the better of that exchange.
I don't know. I think Aldous did.
Yeah, well, I fought the housekeeper the other day. Sarah pretty much like laid into him. I don't think he's ever had anybody like just like denut him that way before. And then, of course, like he's getting in some good barbs, but I mean, Sarah really tore him apart in a way that he totally deserved. But now we transition to probably like one of the sweetest moments of the movie to me, where Peter's laying there awake, and Rachel is like clearly like drifting in and out of sleep, and he's telling her that he's falling for her. Of course, she's got to get up and try to sneak out. Ha ha! You got caught.
Like, well, she actually kind of works there, so I think they frown upon you doing a walk of shame out of a guest room if you work there, especially if you're a woman. I guess.
You know, that's likely true.
Yeah.
That this whole incident here was probably kind of frowned upon. Not only having sex in the hotel in which you work in. Does this count as her having sex at work?
Yeah, well, she wasn't on the clock, though.
No, but she did fuck a guest, too.
Yeah.
So that's, there's all sorts of gray areas here.
And now I guess he's cool again with the local guy.
Yeah, there's the dude that punched you in the face. But he's not having a drink this morning. He's like, you know, I'm not going to have any alcohol.
Yeah.
Look at all the happy couples, all the happy people who got laid. Look at this. There we go.
Now Peter's just, I'm going to enjoy myself.
He's finally enjoying Hawaii.
Yes.
Like legit enjoying Hawaii. I mean, he's not an invited guest at this wedding, but, you know, fuck it. I'm going to go throw petals at these people I don't know.
Yeah, now let's go sit in a hot tub. Let's go swim in the pool, go down the slide.
Yeah, he's, there you go, having a good time. That's not a good place to be. good God, man, he doesn't turn it off.
Yes, all of this is like sitting there like kind of hitting on a bride.
Freshly, man. But I do like this scene with Peter and Aldous. They seem to have, you know, fully accepted each other and been like, you know what, you're okay, we're okay, this is all good.
Yeah, you can... Oh, I'm going back to England.
So I'm off back to England, mate. And of course, this is where he's going to tell him that I don't want to say it was like being on vacation with Hitler, but yeah, it was like a little holiday with Hitler.
Maybe not Hitler, but Goebbels.
Certainly Goebbels. Yeah.
I love that line.
So, I wouldn't say... You know, Hitler, but
you know,
certainly Goebbels. It was like a little holiday with Hitler.
Now you and Sarah could reconnect there.
Yeah, it's like you two could like get back together, and Peter's like, you know what? No, I think I'm done barking up that tree. He's like, I like what I've got going on here with Rachel, so that's where I'm headed. Maybe have them both.
No,
they got on all right at dinner.
Yeah, I don't think I have the sexual competency to pull that off.
Nope.
Yeah, it is a gift.
I feel like I'm kind of in the same boat there with Peter. I'm like, you know what? That sounds great in theory, but I don't know about in practice.
Yes.
it seems like it would be really intimidating. I want to get skedaddle before life gets any more doffed.
And there's my driver. I'm going to have sex with her. And there's Sarah. Oh. He said I wasn't over you.
Well, Sarah, you're not, but at the same time, this is where Sarah needs to like go back to therapy.
Yes.
It's like you have some issues that you definitely need to work through. I can't believe this is a scene that I kind of don't understand. Why would Peter even go to her room at this point?
Well, I don't know, because maybe that little talk they had at the bar when the show got canceled, maybe he thought, like, you know, they could.
She is like actively trying to like, this is a physical assault.
Yeah, she's just like, I love you. She's just trying to play physically, emotionally.
She's like, oh no, I got dumped by somebody. Now I'm totally alone, and you have somebody, and I can't stand it. So, like, please come back to me and make me feel validated. And Peter's like, Peter makes a wrong decision.
Yeah.
Bad call, Peter.
Yeah. I mean, maybe, a few days ago, maybe this is what he wanted, but this is not what he wants.
No, it definitely isn't. And but his subconscious is telling him this is not what he wants.
Otherwise, his penis.
Yes.
It's like, why aren't you hard? Give me a minute. I got it. I know what to do.
Yeah, it's like, this is why this relationship was terrible, man. Like, this is why you weren't like really in this, because.
You want my hands? You want my mouth? All right, well, maybe enough.
He's like, a girl is offering to, like, you know, suck your dick.
Yeah.
That's.
And he couldn't look less into it.
He's like, well, maybe your mouth. And I was like, she very enthusiastically gets up there, but his face tells the whole story.
Yeah, he's kind of like, just like,
What's the problem, Peter? The problem is. He's like, you can keep trying if you want. No, the deal is that you're not into this. Like, you're not down with this. You shouldn't even be in this room, Peter.
Yeah.
You have no business here. Like, all the shit that happened with her, that's her problem, man.
Yeah.
And the problem is that, yeah, she broke your heart into a million pieces, and your cock doesn't want to be around her anymore. It's really, yeah. But as dudes, we can be really stupid sometimes.
Yes, quite often. You're the goddamn devil. Oh, wedding in Hawaii. How original.
There's Bitter Peter. I missed him.
Yes, he's finally back. And then he's like, I think I got to come clean.
You know, kudos to him for making, you know, this decision to come clean about this. It's the honorable thing to do. But to tell you the honest truth, he probably could have just not said anything.
Yeah.
Because he came to the conclusion that Sarah is awful. He doesn't want to be around her. He never wants to see her again. And Rachel is the person he wants to be with.
Yeah. And it kind of took that to realize it.
And there was nothing saying that Rachel and Peter were in an exclusive relationship at this point.
Oh, that's true. It's only been a couple of days.
Yeah, well, they haven't had that talk. Now, if they were in a, if they were in an exclusive relationship at this point, and Peter had gone and gotten a blowjob from his ex girlfriend, then yeah, you're gonna have to come clean about that one, buddy.
Yeah,
because that's pretty messed up. But at this point, it probably would have been like, you know what? This is the full realization moment. Sarah's terrible. You never want to see her again. And you luckily didn't actually have sex with her. Now, like, completely excommunicate her from your life and go be with this great girl over here.
Yeah.
And she 10 to 15 seconds of oral sex.
Yes.
And now, yes, this is going to be upsetting news to Rachel because she really likes you.
Yeah. And she's like, she gets that you're in a bad place, but you should not be with anybody right now.
She kind of – actually, I do agree with Rachel on this point.
Yeah.
That Peter was getting there. He's making progress. But just jumping from one relationship into the very next one in such a quick turnaround time is not a healthy thing to do.
No, definitely not.
I know some people say that there's no real length of time when it comes to getting over somebody. But just speaking from experience, I've never had a good experience jumping out of one relationship and jumping right into another one.
Yeah. It tends to not work.
It goes bad. It goes real bad real fast. And everybody in the situation just winds up getting hurt. So this was a hard decision for Rachel. You can see it on her face that it was. And
and then we got chemo, and then he ends up at the bar still trying to get the picture. You throw tuto paper. You gonna throw tuto paper at me?
A lot of people don't recognize this dude, but that guy is from the old 90s TV show Renegade.
Oh, wow. He's in a lot of stuff, too. Like, you'll see, like, anything that's set in Hawaii, usually he shows up. I know he was in Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates, like, really briefly.
He's a good character actor. Yeah. He's been around for years and years and years, always doing stuff, and he just beat the ever-living shit out of Peter for taking Rachel's picture off of his collage.
Yes, which threw off the balance.
But he brought that – I think she
– And then, Jason Segel's kind of a big dude, and Chemo and Dwayne make him look, like, tiny compared to them.
Yeah, yeah, they do. Like, Jason Segel is 6'4".
Yeah.
And look at him standing next to these two dudes. Jesus. But he's – that was a hell of a gesture he made for her just now, yeah, though. But he still, goes home. But this is where Peter's life could go in vastly different directions.
Yeah.
This is a really funny song. Peter, you suck. Your music is fucking terrible.
Peter, you suck. Peter, you suck. Yes. But you know what? Sometimes it just takes, like, with any kind of thing, with writing, whatever, you just got to just do it. It doesn't matter if it's terrible or not, but out of that terribleness, usually something good will come.
Go see a psychiatrist. I hate the psychiatrist. Go see one anyway. I don't like the psychiatrist. You need to go see one. I'm not going. But yeah, you're right. Speaking as a musician, a lot of times you just when you're trying so hard to write something and nothing is really coming to you, you just play whatever. Like, yeah. Just keep riffing, just keep doing it until something happens. It may take a while, but eventually, like, something will hit you. And that's what happens here with Peter. He does what I think is the healthy thing. He definitely should have gone to see a psychiatrist. I don't know if he ever did, but just sitting down at the piano and
watching Blackula.
Yeah, like, watch all those old, like, silly vampire movies, looking for that inspiration, looking for that influence, like figuring out your craft, getting on the treadmill, get healthy, eat better, throw out the cereal. Using his old cereal bowl to make dinner for his stepbrother, mm-hmm, and his family. That's
progress. I mean,
Yeah, he's made real progress here. This is like, this is real growth. It's real human growth. And then he invites Rachel to see the opening night of his independent puppet Dracula production. I mean, you want to talk about progress? He's dressing better. Look at his house; is all cleaned up. Well, he's still got the cereal bowl.
Yes,
the cereal bowl is still a thing. But this is Dwayne's logic is kind of interesting. He refused a blowjob from his ex-girlfriend mid blowjob. You know what that's like for a man? It's called blue balls, Rachel. This guy's like Gandhi.
And he like
puppets. He like puppets.
He like puppets.
Fraggle Rock. I love Lamb Chop. I love Elmo. Sesame Street. Bert and Ernie. Snuffleupagus. Fucks my shit up. Oh, man. That line killed in theaters. Oh, but then the Dracula musical actually being performed. This is just fucking brilliant.
Yes.
I mean, what a tremendous play. And the crowd is loving it.
Yeah, you love,
as they should.
Yeah, she loved these little things in L.A., New York, these little theaters.
I've never seen – I would love so much to see something like this in real life. I've never seen anything like it. It is absolutely tremendous.
And here's where Bill Hader really gets to be the Bill Hader. Yeah, like, you know, because he was known as the impression guy on Saturday Night Live at the time. So he really didn't – being Brian, you know, was a little different for him. And now he's really – he's getting to do a voice – and I love the way they act the puppets in this.
Yes, the puppet fight scene is so good. Sails across, stakes Dracula in the heart.
Now it's time to die.
Right, how about these skin tight black leotards?
Yeah.
Oof. This is the real reason he was hitting the treadmill at the end. He was like, "Oh yeah, I got to get in one of those."
And he loved to challenge people. Oh, there's another character actor I recognize in the crowd just now. You see him in stuff like Big Bang Theory.
Yeah. Now, my life is a lie. This is a hell of a production.
Yeah,
like, I don't know how he financed all this, but I mean. Tremendous.
And there's Rachel.
There she is in the crowd. Like that's got to make you feel good.
Yeah.
And then she pops out Vampire Baby.
And then there's the Bailey Buddies in the background.
The Aloha Sex Juice Band playing in the back.
Really? I didn't notice that.
Yeah, they're dressed as vampires.
Oh, it's the same band. I never noticed that. Wow.
Streamers and the bats come down from the ceiling. Tremendous. Just, I mean, we're only seeing like just a couple minutes of this show, which, you know, was definitely longer than this. But my God, what a great idea. Mm-hmm. And of course he can't believe she came. But he's looking so healthy and youthful.
Yeah, I mean, she flew from Hawaii to L.A., you know, which probably isn't cheap.
No, I would assume, you know, any flights to L.A. are probably kind of expensive.
Yeah.
I mean, I live in Alabama. Flights to anywhere are expensive.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I live in the tri-state area, so.
Yep, there you go.
Sometimes we get deals, like smaller airports, but yeah, usually it's kind of expensive.
It's interesting here because they're having this conversation about, you know, what her future plans are. And she's like, you know, I got an open-ended ticket for Hawaii and, you know, thinking about staying here, checking out some schools. And she asked him, you know, well, you know, you never called. And he was like, well, you told me not to.
And I actually listened.
Yeah. He's like, you told me not to. And I listened to what you had to say. Personal growth, but she's like, you know, you still have my number, so, you know, call me a little bit later, but go mingle, because this is your big opening night. You are the writer, director, star of this show. You have to, you know, be with the people.
Yes, with the weird vampire groupies.
I mean, it's cool, though, like you're – and now speaking of weird people, I don't know who this dude is. But for some reason, he has this short little scene with Peter.
And he's in his dressing room.
Yeah, it's like, okay, I'm going to get changed now. Are we ready to see Jason Segel's penis again?
I mean, when are we not?
Oh, well, true. It's an impressive penis.
It is. I can tell you.
If this hadn't worked out, you know, you probably could have done porn.
Yeah.
And you would have been a shoo-in for, you know, guys in sweatpants.
Very 2008 with their flip phones. Oh, there it is. That's a quick one now.
Yeah, he's just like real quick handed. He's like, I was just calling you. I was getting naked and calling you. Why?
She just laughs at him.
Don't feel too bad about that, man. You know she enjoys that D.
Yeah.
She already did once in this movie. But can you please stop laughing? Like,
and she missed him. We know what she really missed.
right here in the dressing room. Why not?
Yeah.
Lock the door, maybe. I'm just saying.
Get it on with those masks and puppets staring at you. I don't know.
I do like that the closing credit song is Inside of You.
Yes. Oh, these agents, guys.
Yeah. beautiful ending.
Yes. Well, it's not quite over. There's a little bonus scene that we get.
Yeah. So we do get just a little bit more.
Kind of like what happened to Sarah.
Yeah. She gets a new show.
Yes.
That, my God, does it not sound like something that would be on CBS this fall?
Yes.
They put it on NBC here, but this is totally a CBS show.
And with Jason Bateman as her partner.
Get ready for the most daring new show. There, in a world where you don't know who to trust.
Your eyes light.
Trust. Who's Franco Marconi?
Good.
Go with your animal instincts. Where apparently she's a detective / she's an animal psychic. Sarah Marshall returns on Animal Instincts.
Life's a bitch.
Where you're going, that's exactly what you'll be.
Great movie. And a little foreshadowing where Jason Bateman and Kristen Bell later on play a married couple in Couples Retreat.
Oh, wow. They did, didn't they?
Yes.
I think I saw that movie. It wasn't memorable if I did. but yeah, that's what a feel-good movie that is.
Yes.
This and Role Models and I Love You, Man are like this like trifecta of Paul Rudd feel-good movies.
Yes.
So that's – but this one is still the tops for me because of it coming around at just the right time. And having just one funny moment right after the other, this movie's hysterical.
Yes, it doesn't let up. There's no like down like scenes where, you know, it just every scene is just so good, and there's, you know, a different character kind of hitting it out of the park with a great line or something.
It absolutely is. It's like they just don't miss. Like we were saying, like this is one of the funniest movies that I think has ever been made. And, you know, for me, this is just the funniest movie ever.
Yes.
It's
awesome movie. And then also kind of foreshadows, you know, Jason Segel, you know, working with the Muppets, which,
yeah,
I love that movie.
This is how he got that job.
Yeah.
Cause he had wanted to do stuff with the Muppets for a long time. And nobody would really like give him a shot because he was still kind of a nobody. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was doing movies, but he wasn't like in a starring role. And then he got this movie. It was a huge hit. The musical numbers that Jason Segel wrote himself really got the attention of Disney, who like owns the rights to the Muppets. And they were like, "Well, okay, tell us your idea. What do you think should happen?" And that the Muppet movie that came out a few years ago.
2011.
Yeah, the 2011 Muppets movie. was Jason Segel writing and starring in that film. Mm-hmm. So he wrote a lot of the songs for that movie as well. And to me, that movie is underappreciated.
Oh, yes. It was – you could definitely tell somebody who loves the Muppets wrote that movie.
It absolutely it was a love letter to mm-hmm. Muppets and to Muppets fans.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I love Life is a Happy Song. That, again, another song that I have on my phone, because it's like, you know, if you want to get a pick-me-up, you just listen to that song, and it's just – it just gets you going. Like, you could be in the worst mood ever. You just listen to Life's the Happy Song. And
yeah, it's, that whole soundtrack is just great. That whole movie is great. Like, Jason Segel and Amy Adams had really great chemistry together.
Yes, that's exactly. And then the sequel to that was a bit of a letdown, but...
that is true. That's unfortunate.
So, yeah, I'm watching the music credits, and you see a couple... Yeah, Jason Segel wrote... with other people inside of you, amongst so many other songs. So,
yeah, so Jason Segel wanted to do a comedy musical pretty much from the get-go, and I'm one of those that says, just let him do it.
Yeah.
He's got all these great ideas, really talented songwriter, pretty good singer in his own right. So just, you know, let – cut this guy loose and let him just, you know, go to town. I mean, he even showed off some of those chops in How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah.
The Slapsgiving song
oh.
is one of the all-time greats.
Yes. Marshall.
he's just a super talented guy. Everybody in this cast was super talented.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much all, like, fully committed in on this. And what's really impressive about this movie is the stats on are about 70% of it, between 60 and 70% of the movie is scripted and the rest is improv.
Yes. Yeah, you can definitely tell that.
I mean, the outtakes are really hilarious too. So if you got the DVD or the Blu-ray of this, definitely watch the extended and outtake scenes, because there are some of them that aren't included in the unrated version. You get a few deleted scenes added back in, but there's still a whole host of others that are really funny.
Yes. Wow. Yeah, cool. Well, that brings this movie to a close, you know. So we already talked about what's coming up yep. with you. You have a new announcement coming very soon.
Mm-hmm.
When is the next 90 to Nothing going to drop?
That is a good question. We haven't recorded that one yet, but we have decided what it's going to be, since it's going to be in the month of May, and that's traditionally the time of year that Star Wars is a big deal. Of course, you know, May 4th is coming up. We are going to watch the only Star Wars movie released in the 90s, and that was Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace.
Ah, I remember I took the day off from work to go see that.
I was at the theater like day of release for that one. I was very excited. And at the time convinced myself that I really, really liked it.
I mean, I haven't revisited it all the way through for quite a long time. I remember seeing it in the theater back when they re-released it. They were planning on re-releasing each one, I think, starting at Episode 1 every year in theaters. And they only ended up doing the Episode 1. And I remember taking my kids, and my son was like 5 or 6 at the time, so it must have been about 6 years ago. And I remember that was the first time I think he sat through an entire movie without saying, "Daddy, I have to go to the bathroom."
Well, Star Wars can have that effect. And Episode 1 is certainly made more for kids than it is for the older and adult fans. But I'm not going to say that the movie doesn't have any redeeming qualities, but to find out what those are, you guys just have to listen to the show.
Yeah, so tune in when that comes out, and then you know, Marvel Age, we'll be back for a new episode. And
yeah, Marvel Age Masterclass with Ben Morse will also be coming in to close out 1970, because I will be joining Ben for 1970 Part 2 in the near future. And then, of course, Marvel Age is going to jump on to 1971.
Ah, very cool. So for me, you can, by the time this drops, I will have been on the next episode of Main Event over on the wrestling feed. Sometimes my Year in Pop co-host Scott Criscolo invites me on to join him and the Godfather and the Conscious Steve Willey, and I bring a version of Great Debate, a wrestling version, over to Main Event. So look for that on the wrestling feed. Also, speaking of Scott Criscolo, we'll be back probably the end of May with the next episode of Year in Pop, 1975. That's with, of course, the Doctor, Dr. G. George Ribolino, and J. Arsenio D'Amato, the 70s crew right now on the hashtag oldcast, as some people like to say around these parts.
Hashtag our old.
Yes. And then there's going to be more Laughing Theaters. I have the next two lined up. The next one will be probably dropping sometime mid-May. And that, I'm just going to say, it's from the year 1994. So I'm sure it's a movie that may be on 90 to nothing at some point.
It depends. But, what's this movie?
Well, you know, people are just going to have to tune in.
Oh, see, here. Teaser.
I'm going to tease her. I mean, I'll tell you off mic. But, you know, yes. And then after that, I can tell you I have another one that's going to coincide with a new release, kind of another 90s movie, a 1997 movie, that has a new installment coming soon this summer. We had a movie we actually talked about on Looking Forward, Looking Back, our summer movie preview. So look for those two. Those should be dropping mid to late May, early June. And I'm sure a great debate will be coming up sometime in June as well. So, yeah, stay tuned to the Pop feed and the wrestling feed, and go to placemanation.com. Check out all of our shows. Lots of great content. The next tournament will be up and running within a month or so. So lots of great stuff. Lots of fun to have. And speaking of fun, I had a great time watching this funny movie with you, Russell. I appreciate you coming on. I thank you for taking the time.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. And, you know, hopefully we'll see you back here for another comedy movie, one that, you know, you are quite the expert on, let's just say.
I think I'll make a return trip. Hopefully it won't be, you know, 5 years later.
Yes. No. We're getting the everybody in Place of Nation gets a turn, and then we hit season two, and everybody gets a turn again, and then we're gonna have some specials coming up. People seem to really like Laughing Theater, so I appreciate it. I quite enjoy it. Actually, it's quickly becoming my favorite show to do because I get to have a one-on-one show with somebody, and I really get to have a really good time for a couple hours. So you know, thank you everyone for all the great feedback on the show. And thank you again, Russell, for joining us tonight. Don't forget to check out all of Russell's shows on the Policeman Nation Pop feed. So for now, I am Andy Addison, and the theater is closed, and we'll see you at the next showing. Take care, everybody.
Kind, I don't know what to do.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. The Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed. We dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation Pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all of these current shows, plus archives of our previous podcasts over the past 8 years as well, by subscribing to our feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available at PlaceMation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects and more. Be sure to support our site by using www.placetobination.com/Amazon while doing your online shopping. And be sure to join us at our forum at Bigelow34.proboards.com. WrestlingTalk.com for all sorts of wrestling, sports, and pop culture discussion each and every day, where you can make your voice heard. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlayStation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
It's okay. It's okay.
Oh, God.